Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Laws of Life Court TV, presented by Justice Ministries on Brighteon TV. This is the only format wherein individuals, groups, and even nations can bring a controversy and receive a decision based upon one or more laws of life. We define a law of life as being an absolute divine truth that governs the consequences of our actions. Everything we do and everything that we say activates one or more laws of life, either in a positive or in a negative way. Hosea 4:6 in part says to us, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." I submit to you one major area of lack of knowledge is as it relates to these laws of life, these kingdom laws. Stay logged on. You cannot afford to miss this program.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, and we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com. The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com.
In one of our last sessions, we had a matter to come before the court dealing with two individuals that composed a song. And the complainant was taking the position that he played an integral part in this production and that he should at least be given credit. The respondent took the position that what he did was very insignificant and that he should not be incorporated in the credits for the composition of that song. So today we're going to bring to you the conclusion or the decision of the court in this matter. And we're going to spend a little time going into more detail concerning the laws of life that were impacted in this particular fact situation. So may we have the clip, please. Please stand.
Please rise. Court is in session.
You may be seated. We return to conclude the matter concerning Jonathan Davis and Cherie Bradley. And a decision is going to come forth based upon three laws of life. There could be several others, but we are going to confine ourselves to three laws of life, one of which I have touched upon in the inquiries that we were making of the two of you, that being the law of agreement, found in Amos 3:3. And the word asks the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? And the corresponding scripture to that is, we're not to be unequally yoked. And that's
the court pointed out earlier, believers can be unequally yoked. Now here, that was not an agreement. There was no verbal agreement, Mr. Davis with Ms. Bradley. There were some assumptions, but there was no verbal agreement between the two of them. And certainly there was no written agreement between the two of them. And so therefore, in that there was no verbal agreement, no written agreement, how can the court take the position that was, in fact, what is referred to as a meeting of the minds between the two of them? Nextly, and we also touched upon the law of the gift. And I just want to admonish each of you that if there comes a time after this occasion, whereas you perceive that someone has taken advantage of a situation, Proverbs 18:16 still is active. Your gift will make room for it. Whatever someone endeavors to take from you, your gift is powerful enough to not only retrieve that, but even much more. Nextly, the law of provisions. Provision, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of our need, all of my need, according to his riches and glory. Mr. Davis, God will supply your need. You may not necessarily have a specific need with respect to that project, but nevertheless, you can have the assurance, and also you, Ms. Bradley, but keep it in mind. If you were endeavoring to defraud her, or if she was endeavoring to defraud you, you, either or both of you, then would have brought a curse, if you will, on your respective finances. Based upon that which has been shared, the court rules in favor of the respondent, and that being Cherie Bradley. Ms. Bailey?
Please rise.
Now, as you can see, the court was able to draw from that fact situation various laws of life that apply. Now, what is the purpose of Laws of Life Court, which comes to you on Brighty on Tuesdays at 11 o'clock Eastern, and as well as on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. Eastern? The purpose of the court TV program, as well as the teaching, is to cause you to be acclimated to these laws of life. That laws of life are embedded in every situation. There's no fact situation, regardless of what that fact situation might be, that you cannot find at least one or more laws of life embedded therein. So what are we trying to accomplish here? What we're endeavoring to accomplish is to get you to a point, and I say that in humility as it relates to myself, but to get you to a point that you can look at any fact situation, whether it be a family situation, whether it be a situation taking place in your community, in your church, whether it's a news article. You know, you can go to a movie, and that movie will have embedded in it certain laws of life that if you are familiar with these laws of life, you can draw them from that movie. The same thing, as I mentioned before, in a news article, a play, walking down the street, you can watch any circumstance. And you know, first of all, there's some laws of life in it, and then you can draw from it those laws of life. But more importantly, you can look at your family. And if you understand these laws of life, you can have an impression as to whether or not that family member is operating on the positive side of one of these laws of life or on the negative side of one or more of these laws of life. These laws of life are more important than any of us can realize. Now, I'm going to touch again, which I did in our previous session with this particular case of fact situation. I'm going to touch upon in a little more deeply some of these laws of life that are drawn from that particular fact situation. The law of prayer. The law of prayer was mentioned. And you know, well, first of all, the law of prayer says that we are always pray and not faint. And that this is the confidence we have in him. Anything we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we have the petitions that we desire of him. Most times, many believers take the position that prayer is a tack on, an add on, as opposed to being first in whatever we're doing and participating in and are saying. Prayer should always be first to get a clear understanding on this matter that came before the court. It was acknowledged by these two parties that there was very little or no prayer involved. Oftentimes we take the position that prayer should be reserved for the big things and the little stuff we can handle. But that's contradictory to the word. The word says we ought to always pray. So there was not enough prayer involved in this situation on both parties, or each of the parties, to get some direction, some clarity, some understanding as to whether or not this was a transaction, first of all, that they should have been involved in together, because they both may have been, as we mentioned before, unequally yoked for this particular project. So prayer is always important. Now, each of these laws of life, the Spirit of God has revealed some 50 laws of life to me. And we are endeavoring to commit to written form a book on each of these laws of life. And the law of prayer just happens to be one of the 50. And your question might be, how do we develop a law of life? The Spirit of God gives us a foundational Old Testament scripture, a foundational New Testament scripture. And then we trace that law of life from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament into and throughout the New Testament. Oftentimes, hundreds of scripture will come together to establish each of these laws of life. So the law of prayer is going to be one of the books included in the series that we have on the laws of life. We touched upon the law of agreement. Can two walk together? That's what scripture says to us. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, what these parties had was what I refer to some fuzzy, implied misunderstanding. A fuzzy, implied misunderstanding. It was not an agreement. They were not walking within what we refer to as a meeting of the minds. So then, what should you do? What should I do when we're contemplating getting involved in a transaction with another person? Praying first. Then secondly, making certain that we have a clear understanding. I'm not just talking about a secular understanding. You need to have a witness in your spirit that this is a matter, this is a transaction, this is a situation you ought to yoke yourself up in before you do so. And therefore, you'll get a confirmation. We're going to get to the law of confirmation a little more deeply. But then you will get a confirmation in your spirit. You will have a peace in your spirit that this is something for me. This is something that I ought to get involved in. We talked about character and reputation. Now, with respect to character and reputation, we're not suggesting you go Googling everybody that you come across. No, but nevertheless, that could be something in that person's character or reputation. It may not be bad necessarily, but it may be something that does not fit into what you're endeavoring to do. And likewise, you need to take a look, and I need to take a look at myself to see whether or not I bring to the table what is necessary to consummate this particular agreement and bring forth what we're desiring to do. So it works both ways. So you see, we've already touched upon three laws of life in this particular matter. The law of notice and warning is so important. God says, I'll do nothing unless I first reveal it to my servants, the prophets, that the secret things belong to God, but those things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. God wants us to know, even as it relates to agreements that we're about to enter into. We want to make certain we have a notice that this is something for us, or a warning that this is not something for us. Now, God's always giving us notices and warnings. The question is whether or not we recognize them, whether or not we heed to them. Again, there will be a book. There's already a book on the law, not the concept, not the precept, not the principle, but the law of notice and warning, making you aware of the various ways, the numerous ways that God gives us notice and warning. But this book, that the Lord, that the Spirit of the Lord has impressed upon us, gives you more depth understanding, more in-depth understanding as to how the law of notice and warning operates in our lives, in the lives of our family members. You know, so often believers are caught up in situations that they would not be caught in if we were to adhere to the warning signs that the Spirit of God gives to us. I could spend an entire session, I could spend an entire calendar year just on the law of notice and warning, because there's so much meat in that particular law of life. And it touches each of us on a daily basis and very intricately involved in our everyday lives. The law of foreseeability, and comes under the law of notice and warning. That a prudent man foresees the evil in the and shuns it or avoids it. As mature believers, we should be able to look at a situation, not just with our natural eyes, but with our spiritual eyes, and come to an understanding as to whether or not that is something for you or something for me. It may be just right for somebody else, but it may not be right for you. It may not be right for me. So foreseeability says we can look way down the road of that particular situation, and we can determine in our spirit and in the natural whether or not it's a transaction that we ought to be involved. The law of foreseeability, the law of the gift we touched upon, and the question you should ask yourself and I should ask myself, do I bring the gift, a spiritual gift, a natural gift, or a special ability to this particular transaction that's going to be beneficial? But not only should I ask myself that question, but also the other party, if we're talking about agreement, should be honest with themselves. Say, oh, this thing really looks great. I'd like to be a part in it, part of it, but I don't bring what is necessary to the table to be of some benefit in this matter. And for that reason, unless the Spirit of God impresses upon me that this is for me, and if I get a confirmation this is for me, I know God will provide for me the abilities that I need in order to carry out my part of this assignment. But I first need to determine whether or not I bring to the table what is necessary for this particular transaction. Otherwise, I'm being selfish. If I know in myself that God hasn't called me to do this, although it's a very attractive opportunity, and I know I don't have the skills, special abilities, or the gifts to bring it about, I should acknowledge it and confess it and move on out of the way and allow somebody else that's ordained to do this to get it done. The law of sowing and reaping. And I don't think that was mentioned in the clip, but it's in every aspect of life. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If this agreement causes me to plant some negative seeds, or cause that entire transaction to be in a position that negative seeds are planted, what then can I expect in return? It's the law of kinds. Everything produces after its own kinds. So if we're planting negative seeds in this agreement, we cannot expect anything other than a negative harvest to come forth as it relates to each of these individuals and perhaps other people who are involved in the particular transaction under the law of seasons, under the law of sowing and reaping, I'm sorry. You have certain lesser included laws, the law of measure, the law of kinds, which we mentioned, the law of multiplication. They're all working together. You know, we quote what we refer to as the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, from a practical point of view, not being super spiritual, but from a practical point of view, whatever I do to you or whatever you do to me or whatever one of those participants would do to anyone else, they are getting a corresponding harvest. If they're planting bad seeds in that particular situation, they cannot expect anything other than a negative harvest coming forth from the law of kinds. Everything, not some things, not most things, not many things, but everything produces after its own kind. So the law of sowing and reaping is at work in every aspect, every transaction of life. We mentioned the law of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And before entering into any agreement, we should make certain that we're operating in faith, that we know that God has given us the release and the okay to be a part of that particular transaction, the law of faith. We talked about the law of provision on last session. My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The law of provision is incorporated in every aspect of life. Let's go back to the one I consider the major one that was touched upon to some limited extent in that clip. The law of the spirit of life and the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2 says this. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, the mere fact that a party, another party in a transaction you're planning to become involved in, the mere fact that that person professes that he or she are a Christian and that they honor this law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Everyone walking earth today is either under one of those two laws. I understand there's some 8 billion plus people on earth, and each of them come under one of two laws of life. They're either under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or they're under the law of sin and death. There is no middle ground. You want either one or the other. But let's take that a step further. I can be a believer, therefore under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, but a lot of my activities may be under the law of sin and death. And that's why I have to make certain that activities that I come to be involved in as a believer are not activities that bring me under the law of sin and death as it relates to that particular activity. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And that particular situation, a matter, understanding the concept should be in the forefront of our minds and everything that we become involved. And we have a book on the law of the spirit of life and the law of sin and death that's incorporated in that series of 50 books from the laws of life. Let's look at one or two more. Well, let's get look at the one of the last ones I have on this list, but there are many more. The law of escape. Your question might be, if I've entered or about to enter into an agreement that the Spirit of the Lord has revealed to me that it's not the best thing for me, how do I get out? Well, there's a law that deals with it. The law of escape. And I'm going to paraphrase, but there's no situation you can get involved in, I can get involved in, that God, even before the foundation of the world, had already made a way out. So what do? We pray. We ask the Lord to reveal to us. First of all, we need to confess that we're involved, about to become involved in a transaction that is not of Him. And for the Spirit of God to reveal to us, to show us the way, how do we withdraw from that particular situation? And God is faithful. If we seek Him as it relates to how the law of escape will apply to us in that situation and remove us from something that is not best for us, and perhaps not even best for the other parties involved, God will give us that way of escape. He has always done it, and He will continue to do so. There's numerous scriptures that support this law of life, that there's always a way of escape. My way of escape may be different than your way of escape, but it will be tailor-made for you, tailor-made for me. The laws of life, these laws of life are exciting. You don't want to miss any of these sessions on the laws of life. Why? Because first of all, it's beneficial to you. But secondly, the law of accountability and responsibility. Those who are logging on and being a part of these programs, they're accountable for what we share, for what they share with others. But those who are aware, or could be aware, of Laws of Life Court TV, Laws of Life teaching, and they refuse to put themselves in a position to benefit from, not from what I'm saying, but from what the Spirit of God is saying through these programs, then they are likewise held accountable. So I submit to you, the laws of life are important. They are as important as the meals, the breakfast, lunch, dinner that you have on a regular basis. They are important for your life. So be sure to log on Tuesdays at 11 o'clock, on Sundays at 4:30, Brighty on TV for the Laws of Life and Laws of Life Court TV. Be blessed and always remember, our God reigns.